To have everyone out this evening. So I didn't tell Ryan what songs to choose. I just said, hey, pick you some songs and we'll call it good. And luckily, since he is such a brilliant man, he picked two songs I feel really go with the lesson. And so, to get started, let's look at this picture. Man, let's see here. Oh, wait. I'm distracted. Sorry. Doesn't this happen all the time, right? You get in the car and you want to go somewhere, and either yourself is distracted or people in front of you are distracted. They're not driving correctly. They're not paying attention. They're letting their cell phone or, well, let's see, my watch going. Am I got it going? I think so. Yeah. So it's going. It's all about distractions. They're never focused. Or as the phrase that I've coined, and I think it's a great phrase, and I think Lauren will back me up on this, drive with a purpose, right? You're in the car. You have one goal. That's to go from where you are to the next point. Drive with a purpose. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. You're trying to get somewhere. Trying to get somewhere. Don't be distracted. Pay attention to your surroundings and drive with a purpose. I would say Jesus drove with a purpose. And here's what I mean by this. You look at John chapter 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He came with a purpose to give life and to have it abundantly. But he was focused. How did he accomplish that? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what he did. So this evening, I want us to look at what is the purpose of a Christian, and then how can we drive with a purpose, or how can we live with a purpose to fulfill those? Let's look at what our purpose is as a Christian. And I want to focus on three things. First, to glorify God. To glorify God. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We'll start here in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the people extol him. So what is our purpose as a Christian? Well, it's to glorify God with our voice, to praise him. But I also think there's another way that we can glorify God besides worship. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to start here in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Verse 11. And such were some of you. So he's telling these people, don't be deceived. Don't practice lawlessness, sexual immorality, being adulterers, all of these things. Don't be a reviler or a swindler. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Like what Jeff talked about, there was a conversion. You turned away from that. You focused on God because that was your purpose, to glorify him. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. What Paul is telling the Romans and the Corinthians here is two things. One, worship and praise God. Glorify him for what he is, for who he is, and what he's done for us. But he also says to the church at Corinth and to us, glorify God with your body. Or in other words, practice righteousness. Live like Christ. Which brings us to the next point. Make disciples. So if you're glorifying God, if you're praising him, and you have your mind set on things that are above, and each and every day you say, I'm not going to participate in lawlessness or sin, then when you go to try to make a disciple and teach men, they're going to respect you. Because they're not going to think you're a hypocrite because you do one thing on Sunday and Monday through Saturday you do something completely different. That's not who a child of God is. One who practices righteousness is always focused on God. The actions, the decisions that they make are focused in accordance with God. Matthew 28. Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's our job. It's our goal. It's our purpose to bring others to Christ. But let's look at what he says here in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9. Because we're supposed to be like Christ. We're to glorify God. We're to be like Christ. And let's see what he says here in verse 35. Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Jesus asked us to go preach and teach. He did it. He's not going to ask us to do something that he didn't do. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus lived his life with a purpose, and that purpose was to give life abundantly. How did he do it? Well, these sheep needed a shepherd, and he laid down his life for us, for them. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's what we need to do. The harvest is plentiful. Christ had compassion on these people. We need to have compassion on all mankind because their soul is important just like ours. So as we glorify God and we live righteously every day, it's a whole lot easier to make disciples, to teach them because they're going to respect when we say, I want to tell you about God. Why? Because we're sanctified. We're justified. And it brings us to the last purpose that I think we have. That is to walk in the light. Walk in everyday event. In 1 John, he talks about walking in the light. And if you're in my class on Sunday mornings, there's going to be several things here in 1 John that we're going to go back over. But I hope maybe you can quote it to yourself before I even say it. Walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You want to glorify God? You walk in the light. You have fellowship, not only with God, but we have fellowship with one another. Chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him, being Christ, ought to walk in the same manner in which he walked, the way Christ walked. Christ had compassion. Christ had this agape love, what was best for these people. We need each and every day to look out for the best interests of others. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, what Paul tells us here about how to walk in the light. Verse 8, for at one time you were in darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. What is the purpose of being a Christian? It's to walk in the light. Produce this good fruit. Your actions, your words, your mindset should be on what? All that is good and that is right and that is true. The definition of Christ. So I've talked about the purpose that we have as a Christian in these three ways. But how can we live with a purpose? How can we do these things effectively, having our mindset set on the right way? Well, let's look at what Solomon said here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. If you would, go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And if you want to, you can go ahead and mark in your Bibles Matthew chapter 6. Because we're going to compare what the wisest man, Solomon, had to say versus what the Son of God tells us. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 16. I thought to myself, I have become much wiser than any of my predecessors who ruled over Jerusalem. I have acquired much wisdom and knowledge. So I decided to discern the benefit of wisdom and knowledge over foolish behavior and ideas. However, I concluded that even this endeavor is like trying to chase the wind. For with great wisdom comes frustration. Whoever increases his knowledge merely increases his heartache. For with great wisdom comes great frustration. Whoever increases his knowledge merely increases his heartache. You think about the world, the academia. Well, I've got my master's. Well, I've got my PhD. Well, I'm the guru at this. I'm the wisest at this. And it's all about who's the smartest. What does that do? What does that really do for us? Does it help you in any way spiritually? I would say no. Because what does Christ say that you need to do? Seek his kingdom. Go over here to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. I'm going to jump down to actually verse 31 here in Matthew chapter 6. And he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You think of the world, the way that they look at knowledge and how important it is. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what is seeking first the kingdom of God? It's reading his word. It's studying his word to gain knowledge. And as you study and you gain knowledge, then when you're living your life, walking in the light, you're going to make the right choices. You're going to make the right choices because you are seeking God's kingdom. What else does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? He says, well, I tried self-pleasure. Chapter 2. I thought to myself, come now, I will try self-indulgent pleasure to see if it is worthwhile. But I found that it also was futile. I said of partying, it is folly. And of self-indulgent pleasure, it accomplishes nothing. I thought deeply about the effects of indulging myself with wine. All the while, my mind was guiding me with wisdom and the effects of behaving foolishly so that I might discover what is profitable for people to do on earth during the few days of their lives. So you look at this man, Solomon. He says, I'm going to try all of these self-pleasures. Whatever I feel I want to do, I'm going to do it. It's folly. It accomplishes nothing. In other words, it's foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. So going back to knowledge, you have all of this academia that people want to do, But what does most college students do? They want to party, right? They want to have a good time. Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have all these self-pleasure. And then when they graduate and they try to get a job, what do they still want to do? Have all of that self-pleasure. Because what is their mind focused on? Themselves instead of God. But what does Jesus say? He says you need to practice righteousness. You know, Kyle gave a sermon not too long ago about our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of others, the Pharisees, the scribes, all the good people. Why? Because we are set apart, because our attitude is different. Our mind is focused on Christ, it's focused on eternity. So here in chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." So you look at the self-pleasure these people want to do nowadays, whether it's partying, drugs, whatever it might be. But then you take it over to the religious world. There's a lot of self-pleasure that people try to do in the religious world. Hey, look at me. I'm on TV. Look what I have. Look at how big my church is. Really? Whose church is it? It's God's church. It's the church that Christ died for. So when Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, he's telling us, what is your attitude like? What is your heart set on? Is it set on yourself because you want to be glorified? Or is it set on God? And so that when you do good acts, people glorify God and not you. Practicing righteousness, it's tough. I know it's tough. But as a child of God, we do it because we humble ourselves, because we respect the word of God, and we do it because God loved us first. So therefore, we love him. You think of the greatest blessing that you have as a child of God, and that is you are free from sin, and you can be with him for eternity. Don't you want to share that with everyone? Everyone deserves it. Don't bottle it up. It's a free gift to all. It's a free gift to all. This world. People want stuff, and they want stuff, and they get stuff, and they hoard stuff, and I have to move stuff. I should have put pictures on here, but I didn't want to embarrass, which none of them are here. People hoard. I mean, it's ridiculous, the possessions that people have. And I'm not saying owning anything is bad, but when that's your desire and that's what you want, your mindset is wrong. Your mindset's in the wrong place. Let's look at what Solomon says. I increased my possessions. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I designed royal gardens and parks for myself. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I constructed pools of water for myself to irrigate my grove of flourishing trees. I purchased male and female slaves. I owned slaves who were born in my house. I also possessed more livestock, both herds and flocks, than any of my predecessors in Jerusalem. I amassed silver and gold for myself, as well as valuable treasures taken from kingdoms and provinces. I acquired male singers and female singers for myself. And what gives a man sensual delight? A harem of beautiful concubines. So I was far wealthier than all of my predecessors in Jerusalem. Yet, I maintained my objectivity. I did not restrain myself from getting whatever I wanted. I did not deny myself anything that would bring me pleasure. So all my accomplishments gave me joy. This was my reward. All of his effort, he got joy from it. He got a reward. He had all of this stuff. Oh, wait, we're not finished. Yet when I reflected on everything I had accomplished and all the effort that I had expended to accomplish it, I included all these things, these achievements and possessions are ultimately profitless. They're pointless. It's like chasing wind. There is nothing gained from them on earth. So as a Christian, should our purpose be to just gather things? No. That's what the world does. That's not our purpose. We don't live with a purpose by gathering things here on earth. Back to Matthew and what Jesus tells us. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? What is your mindset on? You think about what Christ said. No one can serve two masters, here in verse 24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Our treasure should be in heaven. So to live with a purpose, you must be seeking Christ's kingdom. And as you're seeking Christ's kingdom, you're reading and you're studying. You're then practicing righteousness. And as you do these good works, you're laying up for yourself the greatest treasure. It's a treasure in heaven. Christ says we have a mansion that he's prepared for us. We've got streets of gold. But to think about, we get to be in the glorious presence of God for eternity. There is no greater possession than that. There's no greater treasure than that. So as we live, let's live with a purpose to accomplish this. Live with a purpose to glorify God. Live with a purpose to make disciples and to live with the purpose to walk in the light. So how can we do this? How can we do this? First, you need to set goals that will help you achieve your purpose. Our purpose, to glorify God. I encourage you, have a Bible study. You can do it with yourself. Study. You know, every year people are like, oh, I'm going to read through the Bible. That's great. You're going to learn a lot. But I encourage you to study. Pick a book. Study it. And then, as you study it, then you can teach a Bible class. Because I will tell you, you will learn more in God's Word when you teach a Bible class than if you sit in the audience. Why? Because as a teacher, what if this person asks this question and this person asks this question? You want to be prepared. So what do? You study more. So you want to seek God's kingdom? Study His Word. Study His Word. I encourage you to teach a Bible class. What's another way that we can achieve this by setting a goal? I say you grow closer to this church family. Pick out somebody, a family, and say, you know what? I'm going to get to know them because they're my brother or they're my sister. I'm going to get to know them. We're a family. And as you grow closer as a family, because you're seeking God's kingdom, you're going to learn more. You're going to help each other out. And who knows, maybe the person that you choose to get to know better needed something, and you're there to help them. You're doing the work of the Lord. You are here to glorify God. Next, don't let life happen, but make choices based on our purpose. Here's what I mean by that. If we are to make disciples, and if we're to live righteously and practice righteousness, we should know that when this event or this temptation or this trial comes, this is how I should act, because you know the Word of God. And because you have a church family here to support you, who's here to love you, to help you, maybe the person that you decided you want to get to know has been through something that you're going through. They can help you. Or maybe they're going through something and you can help them. This seeking God's kingdom, this being a Christian, is not a solo job. It's a family job. We do this together. So make choices based on our purpose. Don't say, well, you know, when I go to college or when I get a job, this I'll just figure it out. No, you won't. Live with the purpose. Know what to do, how you should respond. Your choices are given to us on how we should act. Lastly, you think of the theme of our year, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. You can turn there, or you can look on the screen or the posters behind us. Philippians 2. It says this in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. You want to walk in the light because that's our purpose? Esteem others higher than yourselves. You look out for the interest, the best interest of your brother and sister. How do you know what that is? You got to get to know them. You got to be part of the family. And in 1 John, it says, do good works. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says this. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Do good work to all men. If your brother or sister needs something, help them. But you want to be a light in this community? You want to be a light to your neighbors or your coworkers? If they need something and you constantly are always helping them out, it doesn't have to be monetarily all the time. But if they see that you are different, you're set apart from the world because you're always looking out for the interest of others, then when you say, I really want to talk to you about Jesus and how he has changed my life, they're going to respect you. Why? Because you practice righteousness, because you're seeking his kingdom. So this evening, maybe you've been thinking about becoming part of the family of God. Maybe you've realized, you know, I haven't really been living with a purpose. I've just been letting life happen. I'd love to sit down and open up God's word with you. Give you the good news that Jesus died, not only for you, but for me, for our sins, because he loves us. I want to esteem you higher than myself because I want you to get to heaven. And I know that you want me to get to heaven as well. I want to do good works to all men. So if you're not a Christian and you want to study, I'm here to help you with that. There are lots of us who want to sit down and study and show you what God says about his love. Maybe you are a Christian and, you know, you've kind of turned your back on God. And so now you're practicing lawlessness instead of righteousness. The good news is Christ is standing there welcoming you back. He wants you back if you repent, if you change your ways. He's true to forgive you. All of his promises are true. You know, maybe you are practicing righteousness and you're thinking, you know what? I kind of messed up a little bit over here. And you just need to pray to God so his grace will continue to cover you. I encourage you to do that as well. Why? Because God's love is the greatest. He loved you. He loved me. And he loves every person who's lost. I encourage all of us this week, go seek God's kingdom. Go make disciples and walk in the light. If I can assist you in any way, I ask that you come forward as we stand together and sing.